Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Soleri Report. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome someone who needs no introduction, but is going to get one anyway, Thomas Meyer. We are announcing with this interview the launch of Spiritual Science Academy, which is a collection of lectures that Thomas has done and will do, as well as a collection of all the interviews that Thomas has done on the Soleri Report, which we are hereby making public. It is, you can find the website at spiritualscience.soleri.com. And our conversation today is to walk through the materials that we have there and are planning to launch there. And I want to talk a little bit with Thomas about what we have up on the website, as well as why we're doing this series on spiritual science and launching Spiritual Science Academy. So with that, Thomas, welcome to the Soleri Report.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome also to this program, which is new, which is an adventure, and we don't know how it works.
We'll see, that's right. So before we start diving into what we're doing with the series, I want to talk a little bit about why I asked you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I used to have a friend who'd say that if you created a church of people who used to belong to the Catholic Church, it would be the biggest church in the world. And what we're seeing across the Western world is people leaving their churches and spiritual organizations because they feel betrayed. And I know the similar thing has happened with many people with anthroposophy as they watch the anthroposophists embrace taking these injections or other government policies. They feel deserted. And so I said, you know, Thomas, there's a tremendous need for spiritual guidance because we're going to have to create new pathways. We're going to have to create our pathway individually and in our communities. We're going to have to find a spiritual pathway forward because, as you know, I believe we're in the midst of a very serious spiritual war. And I said, I want to bring together all your work that you've done with Soleri and invite you to do a series on spiritual science in the present age. And you said, well, I'm not so sure. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very good idea. I was not so sure how to start and how to proceed, but I think it's now already established well,
right,
what we are going to do. No, it's quite an adventure, of course.
So let's start. I want to introduce people to what's on the website. The first thing I wanted to go through, of course, is your bio. So you are a publisher in Basel, Switzerland. Your publishing company is Perseus Verlag. You are the editor and publish a monthly journal in German, Das der Europa, and in English, The Present Age. You've published many different books. They're all on your website, and there's a link to your website at the spiritualscience.soleri.com. And I would say that you're one of the most... Well, I think of you as really a teacher, but you're one of the best read people I know. You have read very widely, and you think very widely, and you are very committed to helping people understand the readings and the works of Steiner and many of the people around him. And it's always an extraordinary education to be around you.
Well, I hope half of what you say is right. It sounds exaggerated, but let's try. I'm devoted at least to this work. That's no question.
So let's turn to who Steiner is, because spiritual science is the work of Rudolf Steiner. We've put a bio up on the website of Rudolf Steiner, but maybe if you could tell us a little bit about Rudolf Steiner, his history, who he was, and what he did.
Well, he was an Austrian-born scientist. He worked with Goethe. He was located in Vienna, later in Weimar, and then in Berlin, and then in Switzerland, in Dornach. These are, no, I forgot Munich in Germany. So we have these cities connected with his development. He was born in Kraljevec, that's today Croatia, a little village. And he spent his youth in Vienna, as I said, Weimar, Berlin, then Munich, and then Switzerland. And he was always on developing as I don't know any other historical example of such a intensive development through a lifetime as Steiner's. The closest example maybe we could take is Leonardo da Vinci, Universal Gift. And Steiner, who starts as a philosopher and goes on to be a painter, goes on to be a poet, a dramatist, a sculptor. This is almost unbelievable for many people. But I think if you get to know him closer, you can see it is all from one source. He was an artist in his the heart of his being. And this art has developed. In words, in thinking, there's the art of thinking, there's the art of poetry, there's the art of drama, there's the art of painting. Eurythmy, not to forget the new movement. This is so stunning that many people get a bit frightened by the wealth of faculties that this human being developed in his own lifetime. That one can understand you need some time and some good intention to go into it, to find it credible. But it's fruitful. Now, you asked me about his bio. I named these cities as the main station of his development. For example, in Munich, he started with the artistic impulse in a new way. And he became Goethean scholar. He was writing a thesis on truth and science. That's his thesis subject, truth and science, still readable, still worth reading today. Then the philosophy of spiritual activity, which is known, better known in England and America under the title The Philosophy of Freedom. And I just recently heard even the late Krishnamurti has read this book, has had it at his night table before he died. And he was connected with the theosophists. Some people know the story of him being called the future Christ, so to speak, which was something that put off Steiner and made Steiner walk alone, so to speak, without the background of the theosophists with which he started. Why did he start with this philosophy, theosophist? Because there was no real echo among philosophers of his age. To his philosophical work, the school philosophy was silent. They didn't react. They didn't get it, so to speak. And his philosophy of spiritual activity is a very noteworthy work. We had study courses for 30 years, maybe, and they always learn something new. Whenever I go into it, it's something new. It's such a lively body of teaching developed there that you can never have enough. And it's not for your memory. You know, Steiner That is true for the whole of anthroposophy or spiritual science. It's not for your memory, but it's for training your faculty of discrimination.
Right.
The training of faculty is much more important than what sticks to your brain or to your memory, and you can reproduce. So it's a path, and that's why one of the few definitions of what spiritual science is, few, Standard didn't like definitions, he characterized things. And one of the definitions of the very few about his path of spiritual science is it is a way of cognition which brings the universal, the cosmic in human being together with the cosmic in the outside world.
Right.
The spiritual cosmological element within is going to be linked with the spiritual cosmological element without. It's a path of knowledge. It's all a path of knowledge. And now we are going, of course, to characterize a little bit closer. What is spiritual science mean? Everybody knows natural science, and most people think that's all there is.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think, you will find that with scholars, with experts, etc., when they think something is scientific, it is always natural science or
right.
mathematics, physics.
Right.
But Steiner introduced the term of spiritual science because he could see natural science has become very, very one-sided. And today we all experience the peak of one-sidedness in looking at something like the so-called disease, the pandemic. People look at it from very restricted natural scientific point of views. I'm not saying anything against that, but it's one-sided because everything natural has a spiritual dimension,
right.
which is hidden to begin with. And spiritual science is not an opposition to natural science, but it's a complement. It needs a complement because people get so stuck in the one-sidedness of looking at the world by natural scientific concepts that we need an exact science of the spiritual and the soul realities. And it's not enough to have a vague idea of spirit and soul, which is very widespread today. So it is a real challenge for the whole time. So that is a bit what we try to develop in this series. Why is it necessary to have a spiritual science as well? And how does it look, for example, in a philosophical basic way, in a historical way? What does spiritual science say to historical processes? What about such concepts like the Akashic record,
mm-hmm.
that's the world memory, and how you get access to these things through a certain training in meditation and concentration, etc. We will come to that. Now, I don't want, Catherine, you have to stop me. I don't want to go too.
So I wanted to mention the fact that I think I've told you this. I had several people try and encourage me to read Steiner, and I was overwhelmed by the amount of work. If you look at all the lectures that have been published by Steiner,
yeah.
and all the collections, and what happened to me was I had a wonderful subscriber who agreed to read to me as I was driving across the country. And so I was able to read about 10 books that way. And she was insistent that I had to meet you.
Hmm.
And so I said, okay, I had no idea what to expect. And one day in 2016, I had lunch with you in 2000 in Zurich. You came
right.
over from Basel, and it was one of the most remarkable lunches of my life.
Hmm.
And
likewise, Catherine, likewise.
And
yes,
so before we dive into the new series, I just want to walk through the background, because I don't know if you've realized this, but we've published 16 interviews with you.
16. Okay.
And they're all up at spiritualsciences.solari.com. The first one was as a result of that lunch, we did an introduction to Rudolf Steiner. And that was in Zurich. And then I got Robert and we drove from the Netherlands to your home in Basel. And we interviewed, we did what we do. No, sorry. The next one I did with you, What We Do Now, I came to Basel and we recorded that in Basel. And then I got Robert, and in 2018, we published The Future of Europe. We came and did, and that was an amazing conversation. And then the next thing, you inspired me to come to Sofia to see the Wagner. And that was my first time seeing The Ring. So it was very important. And we had a discussion in Sofia, and that was 2018. And then the amazing one was after I had been to Chart in 2019, we did conversation with Thomas Meyer, and then the big one, the story of Gideon.
Your story.
Yeah, but you know something, you were the first person who really understood what I was saying about the story of Gideon, and you went in and read it and really thought about it and taught me so much about the story of Gideon. I don't know if you remember this. I had no idea that Michael was the archangel there then.
No, the modern story that's ma makes it so modern. And I think much of your work is reflected in the doings of this Gideon. I think we could recommend it to everyone. I didn't know before I met you the story really properly. So I reread and that deepened. That was a discovery. Thanks you.
No, it was a
Yes.
you it was a the two of us were discovering it together. It was and it was funny because I was just sending it to people today. Then we did Integrity and Access to Divine Intelligence. That was later that year in August. And that was about the importance of integrity. And then you took me, I don't know if you're, I'm sure you remember this. In September, you took me to Copenhagen, and I was present for the interview you did with Niels Harrit on 9/11, because 9/11 is something that you've covered a lot. And then in November, the best one, we went to Chart together.
Yes.
And we recorded Journey to Chart. And Chart is something that's had a tremendous impact on my life. Then we did in March the next year, and this is right after the crazy business started, we did Fear Not, because you were very clear that fear was going to be used to control people. And then I came to Basel and we did Comet Neowise and the Spirit of Freedom.
Remember.
Then at Christmas, Freedom and the Christmas Conjunction, a great time for Christmas in the Jungfrau. Then Ahriman and the Present Age. Then we did one on Threefold Social Order. And then finally in June this year, we did The Meaning of Whitsun, which is part sort of the beginning of the Christ section. So those are all, if you go to spiritualscience.zalaria.com, the whole, all of our interviews are there, and they've all been made public because we get a lot of requests, Thomas, about, well, why can't we listen to this one?
About what? I didn't get that.
We get a lot of
Yes.
requests from your fans for, well, how
Okay.
can, yeah. So you and I have spent a fair amount of time about how could you present an overview of Steiner's work, and we
Yes.
decided because it's so important, if you look at what people need now in the present age, it's so important that they have this stream. Anyway, but up
Yeah.
on the website we have a section called Spiritual Science in the Present Age. And it's an overview of 10 lectures that you are preparing to sort of summarize spiritual science. So, what I'd like to do is just walk through them if we can.
May I make a preliminary remark? You said you were so impressed by the wealth of Steiner's work, the lectures and all that. I know many people, not you, but many people really find it a bit confusing, all these hundreds of lectures. I think there's a simple way of looking at that. There are about 10 or 12 books we are going to talk about these in that series, books. And all these lectures that are terribly wealthy and interesting and fascinating, etc., they are like footnotes to the books.
Right.
So I think everyone who really wants to understand more of Steiner's should go to his basic works.
Yes.
And not first swim around in the wealth of the lecture, as interesting as they are. They are all footnotes to the basic works.
Right.
And maybe to heighten why it is so important today, I think we are in an age of great intelligence, but great limited intelligence. There are many people who are very, very intelligent, but their intelligence only goes to a section of the world, mainly the material world. And with Steiner, you can expand your view. You can really come to a holistic, total view of the world. And you have, at the same time, the spirit of exactness of science, totally guarded, integrated. So it's not a wishy-washy mystical affair, but right. It is an exact science of a huge impact of widening your horizon.
Right.
On the web page, you choose a picture. I think it's a portrait of me when I was in the Himalaya.
Uh-huh.
And behind the speaker, you find the whole range of the Himalaya mountains.
Yeah.
And I think that's very good and characteristic for the wide width for the horizon that you can raise and widen in going into spiritual science. I think after big geniuses like Leonardo da Vinci and Goethe, Steiner is an eye-opener practically on all sections of life, material, mm-hmm. psychic, spiritual. That's why this white landscape in the background is very fitting, I think.
Right. So I would say it this way. Most people can see material reality. As you read Steiner, it opens the door to seeing spiritual reality.
Yes, exactly.
And you can see the two together in a balanced
exactly.
way.
Exactly. See them right. together.
Right.
And there are maybe a few very simple things that he pointed out already 100 years ago that some people seem to discover now. One example I already met some time ago is he was the first one who said, if you feed cow with meat, you make them mad.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's absolutely clear in the biodynamic course he gave in the last year of his life, which was very well received by someone like the Prince of Wales. He knows that course and he commented on it. He talks about this. So he talks about the effect of electrification of the means of communication, like we have in the internet, in the handy, etc. An excess of usage of these electromagnetic means will have the effect, according to Steiner, that people know a lot, but they don't understand.
Right. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
That's where we are.
Right.
It's actually a pandemic of not understanding.
Right.
Basically. Because what we know by now about all this corona phenomena is more than enough to dismiss all the official explanations and theories.
Right.
And yet people accept it because, and here is another thing that should be mentioned maybe, because people don't understand easily through these electromagnetization, they know a lot, but they can't work it through. And this leads to another quality. Many people today, vis-a-vis the press, have two main attitudes. First, they believe everything. Second, they forget everything. Forgetting is a huge factor. And of course, all power wanting circles are interested precisely in these two qualities. You can rule people who forget what was there a year
right.
ago. And this
right.
is the rule today. So in order to keep our consciousness together, to solidify, to make it more compact, we need a training that is provided by basic work in spiritual science, like in
right.
nothing else, I think. So that speaks for why it is important today, not to raise a new religion or sect or guru. Steiner was never a guru. I mean, he was tried to be made a guru, of course, but that's not Steiner himself. To get a clear consciousness. And that is only possible if we include the spiritual and psychic side of the world.
Right. So let's turn, there's a page, it's at spiritualscience.solaria.com, where we present an overview of the 10 lectures you're going to give. And I just want to walk through that
yes.
so people know what to anticipate. And the good mm-hmm. news is when we publish this, we are publishing the first one,
mm-hmm.
which is a particular favorite of mine. I have the little book next to my bed that you gave me for the Steiner lecture, How Do I Find the Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was your wish to enter, and I think it's absolutely justified, because at the core of spiritual science is a new, deeper understanding of the impulse of the Christ impulse in
right.
evolution. I don't think this is to be underestimated, that we really learn to understand much deeper the mystery of Golgotha through spiritual science than was hitherto possible. So I think it's justified that we started with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see or hear something about the cross cosmic Christ, not only Jesus, make
mm-hmm.
the differentiation, and the whole incredible mystery that happened to prepare this event of Golgotha. We're going into it a little bit.
Right.
And then we will come to the question, what is actually this spiritual science, basically? What is it consisted? And then we have going into philosophical observations, things that everyone can observe about his own thinking, and what is the value of thinking, of thought, and so on. We're going into that in our second lecture.
So that's spiritual knowledge. What is it?
Exactly.
Then history and evolution is third?
Yes. There we will have to unfold the image, the picture of world evolution, which includes the spiritual side,
right.
The development of the Earth. What was the Earth before?
Mm-hmm.
What was it? That goes back into very, very ancient times. And at the same time, this is preparing the ground for looking far into the future. Because the far you go back, the far you can go into the future.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Steiner goes very far into the future. Very far. And
the past.
And the past. And one of the things I find very helpful is to getting us to think in those kinds of timelines.
Yeah.
Get us out of being stuck in the present.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you add even a third concept, it would be spiritual science helps us to understand the worth of space, of time, and the worth of eternity.
Yeah.
Which is usually just a nice word, pious word, yes?
Mm-hmm.
But in spiritual science, it is a very concrete thing.
Right.
So it helps us to stand in time, in space, and see beyond, to have a real good stance for looking at all phenomena.
Right, so we can participate in eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So number four, we get back to sort of my favorite ground, which is world economy.
Oh, yes. Your favorite ground, yes. Yes, of course, that's a huge subject. But of course, again, today it's very one-sided, treated in a one-sided. Who thinks of the spiritual side of money, except people like you or the Templars? Who thinks that it is not unimportant how money is created, how it is invested, by what inner attitude the investor is investing?
Right.
The spiritual moral qualities are together with the money question.
Right.
And from that point of view, Steiner has to offer a totally new treatment of economy, especially of the money questions. We're going to that as far as possible.
Good.
The world economy today, we only know in form of the caricature of the globalist elite under the dominion of your preferred Mr. Global. Yes, that's what we know.
Right.
And this is an elitist thing for few, and the rest go to hell. That's
well,
today.
If we're going to create anything outside of what Mr. Global is creating,
yeah,
we have to understand the essential components of what needs to be created. And if you don't understand the spiritual component, you'll never be able to create anything that can endure.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. But there is a great resistance to understand these things today we're going to that. Okay, that's world economy, which is one of the three things that in the French Revolution people were striving for. They were having the three ideals of freedom, liberty, equality, and brotherlyhood. And brotherlyhood would be the virtue to be practiced on a world economy that has not yet been established.
Right.
Because what we have today is not brotherlyhood.
Right.
That is evident. So this will be an important field. Then we have, do you want to go on?
Yeah, so number five is arguably one of the most important.
Right. Threefold.
The threefold social order.
Right. We're going to speak about a number of threefold structures. The human being itself, physical, soul, spiritual. From these three today, mainly the physical is the predominant, and the others are epiphenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And this is of course an illusion. It's an error. Then you have three.
Go ahead. I want to.
You have three capacities of your soul: capacities, thinking, feeling, willing, and they are also in evolution. As the whole human being is an evolution, even if some people say no, it was always the same mess, always the same competition, always the same warlike tendencies. This is not true if you look at it closely. And today, the three soul qualities, thinking, feeling, willing, separate each other. And the basic idea of the threefold social order is the social organism should reflect the condition of development of the human being itself. It is for the human being, not the other way around.
Right.
So if in the human being there are changes like thinking, feeling, and willing get into a different constellation to each other, that must be reflected in the social field. And the three basic things are: you need a free spiritual life, you need a real life of rights, of equality, and you read the terror for the free will in economy. I want to say Steiner's idea of threefold social order is not a theoretical program. It's the answer to what the human being would need today. That's not something that is, you know,
So if we look at conducting our lives, if we look at building a community, if we look at building a and growing a family, these are the areas that we need to understand and address.
Yes.
So we had an amazing thing happen at Christmas. We were all talking about the threefold social order, and you were teaching us about it. And then one of the points that came up that it was like a bell ringing in my head. You talked about the cultural and the legal and the economic, and why society must be organized so that the economy cannot control or dictate culture or the law.
Absolutely.
The law must be absolutely protected from any kind of control by the economy. And of course, that's exactly what's gone wrong.
Exactly. Also, the culture should
Yeah.
be freed from the economic pressure.
Both culture and law must be free and not controlled by economy.
Which is the opposite of what today is the case.
Right. And it's one of the reasons that it's very convenient for the people who control the economy to get
Yeah.
us to be hyper-materialist, because then we
Yeah.
can never get any power. Our so
Exactly.
we without spiritual power, we have no power.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was one of those, I have to tell you, so if you go back and you listen to the Thomas Meyer discussions and lectures, you'll have many of those bell ringing moments when you go, ah, right, it's simple. Okay, number six is occult politics.
Well, that's a very serious subject, of course. We know that behind Leninism, behind Bolshevism, Leninism, as well as behind all sorts of movements in the world political, there are people who understand something of the occult, of the spiritual, but they understand it in a particular way. They are interested in a certain group, like the Anglo-Saxon part of the world. They don't think necessarily for the whole humanity. So you have people who have deeper insight into the development of people. For example, why is the French nation an old nation, has peaked the culmination of its mission? Why is are the Slavic people the mission in the future? And how can you make use of that knowledge that was practiced in the Western logics to a certain degree, and also the Jesuit stream, which is an occult stream, knows some of these things. And the occultism of spiritual science of Steiner is the only one I know which is concerned with the interests of the whole humanity, not a certain group, not a certain religious group, not a certain group of races or peoples, but for the whole humanity. And that's its modernity. It's not a particular thing for the Middle Europeans or for the Germans or whatever. So this is a occult politics. This is important because it plays quite a part still today. You know yourself, lodges are real. Masonic institutions, for example, the French president was baptized by the great traditional French Masonic order. They were his helpers, etc., etc. So we have to take account of these things, not to make any so-called conspiracy theories, but to see. Yes, what kind of forces are at play? And if we don't know them, we cannot win power over them. So that will be a very important thing. French Revolution, Russian Bolshevik Revolution, how these occult political aspects led into it today.
Right, and it's very alive and well today.
Oh yes. Oh yes. And fortunately, after a century of misinterpretation of the origins of the First World War, it was a little group of British and Irish authors, in fact, actually two, who wrote a book called Hidden History, in which they displayed the real power centers in the West who were interested that Germany and Russia were getting into a deadly war and they were successful. So this is a part of that deep subject, including, I must end with that, including the fact that Steiner during the First World War gave lectures in Dornach. I think today they are called Karma of Untruthfulness, or, which is actually occult politics.
Right.
And he wanted his anthroposophists to be interested in this and not just only to turn their gaze up to Michael and the Godhead. So this will be an important part. Yes, and what else?
Yes, so next is education and art.
Education is at the center of all future development. So who has the education has the future.
Yes.
That was absolutely known in America. That was known in the Bolshevik initiation sphere. Who has the childhood has the whole life of people. So right, that is a very important part. And spiritual scientific based education is, of course, aiming at making the individual self-reliant, as Emerson would have said, mm-hmm, self-reliant, and not a puppet, and not a mask-wearing, non-thinking puppet, as we see them all around today.
Right.
So education is with art connected. It's itself an art. There is an art of education. And art is especially important for educating human beings to be free, self-sufficient, self-reliant. So art will play in here, also in the form that it was practiced by Steiner as an architect. Look at the old Goetheanum, which we have on the webpage. It's a wonderful, unique building that was burned down by, what is it called,
arsonists.
Arsonists.
Yep.
Was a tragedy, because if people would have seen that building, they would have got the impulse to have a different way of looking at the world, mm-hmm, just artistically.
It is beautiful. It's on the homepage.
It's very good that we have that. Yeah. And, that will be education and art. Yes, and?
The next is agriculture and health.
Well, agriculture is key. There was a pupil of Steiner's who once asked, why do people do so little, even based on spiritual scientific principles? Why do they achieve so little in the world? And Steiner said to him, he was interested in nutrition, this is a problem of nutrition. The plants today have not enough etheric substance to provide the bridge between what your mental pictures and your will force. The bridge is not there. So we need a more basic biodynamic way of developing plants so that the human being has nourishment which enables him to act upon what he thinks he should do, and not just to think one thing and do another thing.
Right.
That's a very deep going thing. And of course, it's very fortunate that a man, I've already mentioned him, like the Prince of Wales, was very interested in biodynamics in Great Britain. He was at congresses, and even some Jesuits know how important this is. But if they want to do it, they want to do it for their end. We have to be aware of that. So
one of the books that you should absolutely read, I think, is Steiner has a book called Agriculture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Agriculture of Tomorrow. Yes. That's a cycle of about 12 or 13 lectures in 1924, in which he really penetrates the reality of the Earth for our future.
Right.
So the whole, that's of course an important subject we will have here.
Right. And that book and those lectures are the basis of biodynamic farming.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's agriculture and health. So you want to just say a few words about health?
The health question is a very large, of course. So, beginning, if you like, with mental health, inner soul health, and the rest is a reflection of it. And of course, there are certain rules to not exaggerate and not do this. And every individual has his own health, if you like, so to speak. There is not a dogma. But the insight into health questions, including sickness, of course, cancer and so on, is immense by spiritual science. So everyone can really learn a lot of things that might help him to keep a better health himself.
One of the things you taught me that really helped me, and I'm looking at the list of the different conversations we had, I think it was when, it was either in 2017 with What Do We Do Now, when you and I were in your office in Basel.
Yes.
You explained to me that when we tell a lie, we create an elemental being.
Yes.
And I realized, that's, you know, there seems to be this huge spiritual constituency for the lies, and it keeps growing and growing, and it's a very powerful force field. And it was another time that, you know, you are always inspiring these bells to go off in my head. The bell went off in my head, and I said, that exactly explains the phenomena I keep dealing with.
Yep.
Could you just say a little bit more about it?
Well, lies is the oil of the modern economic life, egotism and lies. So we have never had a century with the principle of lies so important. It's all over. And the problem is, this affects the consciousness. The more lies there are that people don't see through, the more your consciousness gets blurred, gets weakened. And you can see that today. That's why so many people know so many things and don't understand really deeply. The part of lies is not just theoretical. They are beings. And everyone who has put his mind to, as you have with the financial phenomena in America, to get to the bottom of a phenomenon about which a lot of lies have been spread, you will feel a resistance. You need a penetration force which goes beyond the ordinary. That's because these beings don't like to be uncovered and chased away. This is a reality. You have a real fight with some elemental, partly demonic beings.
Right.
We need the notion of demonic beings and of obsession today.
Yes.
As not an irrational thing, as a very rational thing to understand certain phenomena which we can't understand otherwise. The world is full of possessed people today.
Yes. I'll never forget, you know, I'm always saying this. When I was a little girl, I grew up in an African-American neighborhood, and we used to have these church mothers who were the age that you and I now are and older, and they would walk around saying, "It's demonic, it's demonic." And when I was a little girl, I used to think, what are they talking about? And now, you know, if I walk into a video store and look at the movies, I find myself saying, it's demonic. It's demonic.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I understand. What
it was a fringe reality at that time, and now it's all over.
Right, right. But I couldn't see it then. They could see it.
Sure.
They were always right.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't see it yet, and now I can.
Yes.
Okay, so agriculture and health was number 8. Number 9, here comes the hard part, self-development and meditation.
Yes. Yes, we should train ourselves to like to work on ourselves instead of working on others mainly. Because the work on others is necessary in education, quite. But if there comes a point where you cannot do more than suggest, but you can always do more with yourself.
Right.
We are the eternal object of inner work in our lifetime. And I think that should really be taken very seriously, because we are the only object with some hope of some change.
Right. Well, the other thing is, it's also true that one person can make an enormous difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you go throughout history, people who knew they could make a difference and really did make a difference, they had to do, you know, to access the kind of power we're talking about takes a lot of effort with yourself.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's not so comfortable then to try to make better human beings out of other human beings.
Right.
And in the end, it's in vain. So self-development is a very hard thing, and it needs, of course, full honesty, because it needs that I have the faculty or develop the faculty of being honest with myself and to see my weakness as weaknesses and not mix up my worst qualities with my virtues, which sometimes happens.
Right.
So this is a very hard part and a good part of it. And you have a lot of wonderful exercises in spiritual science to practice at will, at whenever you feel you need it. And meditation, of course, is coming to it as deepening your understanding of this or that by meditating, which means by concentrating. And today, I think the faculty of concentration is at stake, is jeopardized.
Yes.
You're always, you know, in a extrovert and not concentrated inner attitude.
I would say it's how, in a world that's trying to create incoherence, can you rebuild and maintain coherence?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I think that's invaluable, because I think all progress requires coherence.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, now we come up with the big one, number 10. And I can't wait for this one. And that is, because you know how much I love Michael, the age of Ahriman and Michael.
Yeah. Well, Michael is the true spirit of our time, but Ahriman tries to become the main true spirit of our time. There's a fight.
Yeah.
There's a spiritual fight.
I can feel it.
You can feel it.
Yeah. Can't you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Ahriman is so strong because he has only today the opportunity of an incarnation. And also he is, of course, not the highest god. He is admitted in his power. Today, this is his time to go ahead. And he tries to do whatever he can in a most short time, which we see. All these things.
He's just out of control.
He's out of control.
He's just out of control. He's just out of control.
Yeah. Right. People have to control him by understanding that he is there.
Yes.
You have to have a concrete concept of this being, as well as of Michael, who is the helper to check the dangers that come from Ahriman. We can't avoid Ahriman. We need him.
But we have
to control him.
It's hard to conceptualize that there could be a force that devoid of empathy.
Again, a force devoid of empathy.
A force that devoid of empathy. In other words, humans who have empathy for other humans can't fathom the kind of force being presented from Ahriman right now.
Yeah.
They have a hard time.
Yeah. Well, he is a part of the universal troupe of actors. And
Right.
so if you want to understand our time, we have to have a close look at this particular actor, to whom we owe a lot, but we should never submit to him. We should have a free inner attitude. And that is not possible if we have no clear vision or notion of him.
So why, you know, I can ask this about any group right now. Why have the anthroposophists, why so many of the institutional groups have just collapsed in terms of their policies and gone along with the injections and the masks and all of this other stuff? I mean, it's the same thing we're seeing in the Christian church.
Absolutely. Well, one thing is, in the 30s of last century, there was a tragical event happening in the anthroposophical institutions, which led to the expulsion of the most individual and able people from the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So if the institutions lost their best people, you can figure out what is the development of these institutions. So, and I think all institutions sooner or later go that path of deteriorating. Look at the church. The
right.
church is today, so to speak, I can't say that to you. I couldn't say that St. Peter's Dome, of course. It's the instrument of the Ahrimanic powers today.
Yes,
church.
Absolutely.
It has
absolutely.
Nothing to do with the Christ. So we should never look at the institution as a reflection of a movement more or less pure. And we have to turn to the core movement. This is also true for the movement of spiritual science. There are many people, also in your field, in my field, who would never join the present anthroposophical institutions because they
right.
see, well, they just do the same thing that the mainstream press wants. And this has nothing to do with spiritual science.
So what I would say is they don't believe in Steiner.
Pardon?
They don't believe in Steiner. Because if
they don't understand
him,
yes,
right,
they don't take him seriously. They know, but they don't take it seriously. They are too afraid. There are people who don't understand. If you want to be, so to speak, a bearer of a spiritual impulse, you must be ready to be attacked. You know that yourself.
Right, of course.
If you're not ready to be under attack, then you better go to the Salvation Army or something else, you know.
Well, otherwise it's a form of entertainment.
Yes. And not so many people have the courage that you need to bring the truth out. The truth is not so favorable for personal well-being, let's say. You have to be ready to go through, to put it extremely, to go through hell if necessary.
Yeah.
And this is not everyone's liking, but that's okay. But if those who don't like that keep others from doing their duty, that's worse. And I
so
think
spiritual science is not something you can get in a pill.
No.
My favorite, one of my favorite things to do whenever I'm in a salon or gathering in your beautiful home, you know, I sit there and I watch the discussion and I watch what's happening and I think, you know, it's so wonderful to be in a place where people understand the power of ideas and the power. You know, one of my favorite lines from scripture is the prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite thing is when you get a couple of the people in your groups together and we're discussing a current event. And you all start collaborating on figuring out what Steiner would think about it. And everybody's quoting this thing or that thing from this book or that thing. And you're all moving around the jigsaw pieces, figuring out, okay, what would Steiner think about this? And it's fascinating. And what you realize is you're all drawing on this rich tradition.
Yep.
And it's amazing the insight you get, even though we're talking about things that happened decades after his death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
quite.
It's
There's a huge energy in the whole field, a huge energy that could be used.
Yeah.
If you don't have a wrong individual personal ambition to be the great knower and so on. So we should use these resources.
It's almost like plugging in.
Yeah.
In other words, this is available in the field if you just plug in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Catherine, I'm afraid, but you think we are at the end?
Well, I think we're very close because we've gone through your background, Steiner's background, what we have in the library. We've gone through the overview of spiritual science. I have an idea. Oh, go.
The way you introduced it on Solaria, I think the last time, was including what I would call the core mission of Steiner. Mm-hmm. And this is with what we could end.
Yes, absolutely.
As number 11, the core mission.
Ah.
You know, the core mission. That was the title of a book of mine, which I really wrote in order to uncover what is the deepest thing that Steiner was trying to do.
Uh-huh.
And he said upon the question of one of his foremost pupils, Walter Ernest Stein, you have heard the name. Dr. Steiner.
Say the name again.
Walter Johannes Stein.
Oh, yes, Stein, yes.
Grail book Stein, yes?
Yes.
Ninth century. He was asking Steiner once, Dr. Steiner, beside founding spiritual science as a scientific method of modern age, what would have been your proper, true mission? And he said two words, or two things, reincarnation and karma and the social question. Steiner.
Wow.
And of course, they belong together, reincarnation and karma and the social question. That means we have to penetrate much deeper into the essence of a biography from the point of view there are repeated earthly lives with inner links that we usually don't see. And if we start understanding karma in history, and Steiner has made research of hundreds of examples, like Emerson, like Goethe, like if we take that up, we get into something which is much more a real history. Our history today is a fable convenue. It's superficial.
Right.
With reincarnation and karma, we start getting into a true historical sphere in understanding. And this is, look at the karma lectures.
I have a post called Karma Means You Don't Get Away With Anything.
Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest obstacles to real change is we have to clear our karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from my pastor, if we can face it, God can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
To move forward successfully, we need to face, you know, where we've been. And
exactly.
And, yeah.
And on the other hand, we need new understanding of the karma of others.
Yes.
Example, Steiner, you find we're going to speak about the social, the threefold order. You find him investigating the karma of people like Karl Marx.
Yes.
Where does Karl Marx come? What has he done in the Middle Ages that can help to understand why such an impulse comes into the world? So the whole field of karma and reincarnation is some special thing that you won't find anywhere else in such a detailed clarity than in spiritual science.
So if you go to the website and you look at spiritual science in the present age, you will see I've just added number 11, the core mission of Rudolf Steiner.
Wonderful. That's his own answer expression to this question. And this goes deeper into understanding any individual from the point of view, any individual has had previous lives. If you know a little bit about those, you can understand a bit more of what he's doing afterwards. Right. It's a wonderful thing. That will be fine for closing if we don't find an even better closing number 12, for example.
One of the things I predict is before this is over, you will come up with a number 12.
You think so?
I think okay. so. I think
okay.
so.
All right. Yeah.
So, Thomas, everything's there at spiritualscience.celery.com. With this one, we'll launch the video for How Do I Find the Christ?
Yes.
So that will be up as well. And then we're planning on driving down to Switzerland and recording the rest.
Spiritual knowledge. Maybe I drive to you when I come back from Denmark.
That would be fantastic.
That's only towards the end of October. But at least at that time I can come down.
That would be fantastic.
I plan.
That would be fantastic.
Very good. Okay. Thank you for launching this.
Thomas.
For making this conspiracy with Thomas Meyer. What's your idea?
Well, you know, I was trained as a conspiracy perpetrator, and, you know, there we go. Thomas Meyer, thank you so much for everything you do for all of us and joining us on the Celery Report.
Thank you, Catherine. Bye-bye.
Bye.